Take your Bible and turn with me tonight to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8, keep your Bibles out. I asked Brother Freddie today, was out there working, or they was working, I was watching. And I'm a pretty good watcher, amen? And a go-getter. They say go get this and go get that, and I'll go get it, amen? But I was out there today. I said, y'all still have church on Wednesday night, right? It's been so long. I've been traveling so much, I thought maybe y'all might have changed the rule on that since I've been gone. And he said, no, we hadn't quit having church on Wednesday night. He said, we just say what we want when you're gone, amen. And I told him, I said, we have the internet now, bud. Watch it, amen. But it is good to be here tonight, hallelujah. I'm so glad I'm not in a hotel somewhere and preaching to a bunch of people I don't know. But it's good to be home. Acts chapter number 8, if you're there, say amen. I will read some scripture in a minute, but Brother Chris and I, we probably spend more time together and talking than we ought to, but we were talking the other day, and I don't know, I think maybe it was a couple of Wednesday nights, I forgot where I was at, but Brother Chris was preaching for me. He was supposed to preach the Wednesday night before, and a little old baby horse about that tall kicked him, and he cried and whined and pitched a fit and said he wasn't able, but anyway, that does hurt, by the way. He got cracked ribs, but anyway, he preached the next Wednesday night, and he told me, he said, I'm preaching on convictions. How many of you know what convictions are? I'm not talking about when the judge says you're guilty and puts you in jail. Different kind of conviction, amen? And he preached on convictions, and he talked about how that the older women ought to teach the younger women. And by the way, the older women ought to teach the younger women. Amen. I grew up in a time and in a place where my convictions were what I was told they were. Amen. Are y'all all right? Lester Roloff said this years ago. He said, if you have no convictions, borrow mine till you get some. Are you okay? Some people are absolutely ridiculous with their convictions. And some people absolutely have none. Amen? Are we okay? But let me just say this in building a little groundwork for the message tonight. You ought to have some convictions. If you're saved, let me say it again, you ought to have some convictions. There ought to be some things because you're a Christian, not because I told you, but something in your heart said this is not right or that is not right. Y'all okay? There's a lot of things crammed down our throat or have been crammed down our throat as Bible convictions, and they're not at all, and we'll get into that in just a few minutes. But I want to cover some of this tonight. You ought to have some convictions in your life. Now listen, those people that have all those convictions, and we'll talk about some of them that are absolutely, now looking back, some of them, they're funny. They're absolutely funny. Where they got them, nobody knows. But they have them, and they're adamant about them. And they build their entire ministry around their convictions. Are we okay tonight? Let me say it again. I'm not preaching against them. It's okay to have convictions. But they shouldn't take place of the Bible. Amen. I've been in places where somebody got saved, and before they left the building, they cut their hair. Are y'all okay? And these are some of my heroes. And I have some great, great respect for them. But that's just wrong. If you have to force a conviction, it's not a conviction. It's religious dominance. Are we okay? We don't want religious dominance. We want people to get close enough to God that they are convicted themselves about what's wrong in their life. Amen. Then there are people who have absolutely, these people with all the crazy convictions, they're proud of them. I've been at, y'all believe this or not, and I still do, I know some churches, and I preach in them, where they have a sign outside their door with a dress code. They got a sign on the door. And if somebody's not dressed exactly according to their dress code, they're not allowed in the building. Now, I think that's ridiculous. I'm glad we got a place where sinners can come.
Their problem is they want to clean that outside of the cup and the platter, but the inside is still full of sin and deceit. Amen. We want Jesus to work from the inside out. But then on the other side of the coin, there are churches and different sects that have absolutely no conviction. And they're equally proud of their no conviction as the people are proud of their extreme conviction. Here's where I think we ought to be as Christians. We ought to find a balance in our life. Some have so many convictions that nobody can live up to them. Nobody. In some cases, it's worse than Old Testament law. Amen. I don't want to make anybody mad tonight, but I want to help you. Listen, man, there is some that don't have any convictions, and they're proud of them. While others have more convictions than the Lord, and if he was here today, they probably wouldn't fellowship with him because he doesn't live up to their standards. You know, I doubt seriously if we were to go back in Jesus' time, he didn't dress like none of us. Amen. We make fun of Thomas all the time because he wears dresses. No, we call them dresses, but they're not. Brother Thomas is of Irish or Scottish? Irish. Irish descent. That's why he eats taters all the time. He's from Irish descent. And he goes to these reenactment things and he wears one of them kilts. I'm telling you, Jesus didn't dress like we dress. Are you okay? But if we went back to his day, I would be willing to bet money that he didn't dress like them people down at the synagogue either. I guarantee you he was looked down on, even in his day. We're talking about the Son of God. He was looked down on the religious crowd of that day. How many of you ever feel like you just can't measure up to the religious crowd? Are y'all okay? It's hot, and I was getting dressed tonight, and I started just put on a vest, and I thought, nah, I'm going to wear a jacket. Somebody, you know what that is? Convictions. Somebody else's. Amen. But I don't want to offend anybody. Are y'all all right? Amen. There's those churches. I've seen billboards that advertise. They advertise their ministry in not so many words. Come to our church. We don't have any convictions. Wear what you want. Act like you want. Now listen. Some of y'all get confused. When I say we don't have a dress code, yes, we do. But we don't force it on lost people. And we don't force it on visitors. But if you're saved and a member of this church, you ought to dress right. Okay, I'm just going to be scattered tonight, I know. But I just thought we ought to cover some of this. I called Chris this afternoon and wanted to make sure I wasn't stepping on his toes of what he's been teaching. And if I do, then he needs to get right, amen. But I seriously don't think I will tonight. But there are those that they wouldn't even fellowship with Jesus because he's not separated enough. You'd probably find him fellowshipping with some divorced people. You say, now you're being a little bit far-fetched. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. He sat down and had a meal one day and they said, look at him. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. He's a friend. He stooped low enough to eat with publicans and sinners. And that they found to make accusation against him. In other words, that was to be a derogatory remark. I think it's a compliment. I got to be careful. I got so much I want to say, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. But people are funny. They have convictions about many, many things. Dress. Divorce, where they'll shop and where they won't. I had a man tell me one day, I said something about stopping by Walmart. He said, oh, we don't go in Walmart. I said, man, how do you live? I said, y'all don't go to Walmart? He said, no, they sell alcohol. I thought, you grow your own food? Make your own toothpaste? I mean, where are you going to shop? But that was a conviction that he had. I said, well, you got somewhere I can get some toothpaste? Don't sell alcohol. He said, we'll stop the drugstore. I said, duh. Y'all okay? It's funny. Some of these conventions people have, but yet they have no convictions about the Bible. Absolutely none. You show them a verse of Scripture that goes contrary to their convictions, and they'll tell you, and I've had them do it to my face, I don't care what the Bible said. I don't care what the Bible said. There's things I did and preached even as a young preacher and as a young Christian just because that's what I was told all my life. Are y'all all right? We're going to talk about convictions tonight and what they really, really are. They have all these crazy convictions about all this stuff, but they have none about the Bible, none about soul winning. What they do is they major on minors and minor on majors. I would rather have somebody come in here and not dressed up to your standards and get born again than turn them away at the door. Now, ladies, men, I'm not talking about you who are saved and on your way to heaven. I'm talking about lost people. I'm talking about brand new converts who don't know no better. You're supposed to be their example. We shouldn't even have to preach this. They ought to look around and go, oh, this is not appropriate for church. Are y'all okay? Somebody will get mad before I'm done tonight. But I really don't care. It's bad when the strip joints in Atlanta have a stricter dress code than the church. I don't know that to be true. Brother Tommy told me. I got run off the golf course down here at, what's the name of that place, Brother Freddie? We went Creekside. They made me leave. I was out there practicing because if I play golf, I need practice. And I had on a brand new pair of Wranglers. Just had got them, brand new. And they made me leave. I had to go to the clubhouse and buy a pair of khakis. They wouldn't let me. And we had guys standing out there. They had on shorts. I said, Tom's got on shorts. They said, but they're khakis. At the Paulding County cow pasture, they made me. But how dare the preacher ask the choir? Well. Webster said that conviction is the act of convincing of error. The act of convincing of error. Since you've been saved, I said, since you've been saved, has there been a time where you've realized, I ought not to do this? Or I ought not to do that? This is not becoming of a Christian? Y'all okay? Listen, Christianity is not all about what you can't do. And some people want to preach it as that. Man, look what all we get to do. Amen. Convictions, we ought to have some. We ought to have some. In the Bible, I find four classes of convictions in this book. And we're going to talk about them tonight. Number one, Acts chapter number 8. I want you to see, first of all, there are Bible convictions. By the way, that's the first convictions you ought to develop in your Christian life. I can tell when a new Christian's reading their Bible and when they're not. This Bible will convict you. Do you ever? I still read through those verses and go, that's tough. That's hard. Love your enemy. Turn the other cheek. Are y'all listening? Love them that despitefully use you. All that stuff. Some of that stuff's hard, man. But the Bible said it. Does that make it right? Now, stay with me just for a second. I've had people argue with me over the years over certain things, Brother Chris, and they'll say, now, Brother Eddie, I just don't see anything wrong with this or that. You know, in a Bible verse example, it does not matter what we see or what we do not see. What matters is what we say. If the Bible says one thing, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Be not drunk with wine, where is in excess. If the Bible says one thing, but we say another, are we saying, I don't believe the Bible? Are we okay? We don't have to say we don't believe the Bible if our actions speak for themselves. Are we all right? Acts chapter number 8, you know the story, I hope. Verse number 27, Acts chapter number 8. The Bible said, and he arose. Let me back up verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and he heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understand thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And then the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What happened here? Understand what happened. That's why I think it's important to use the Bible or a gospel tract that includes Scripture when witnessing to somebody. Do you know what Philip did? Philip crawled up in the chariot with this Ethiopian eunuch who did not believe, who was trying to figure out, and he took the Bible and explained to him Jesus. And the guy got saved and the guy got baptized. What was it? It was the B-I-B-L-E. It was the Bible. We ought to have Bible convictions. Bible convictions. When that Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, or that Mormon, and they say, oh, we believe the King James Bible just like you do. No, they don't. They're lying. There's a guy here at the church, he tells me all the time, oh, I got to have it out with the Jehovah's Witnesses again. You're crazy if you do that. I don't waste my time. I got better things to do. Amen. One come to my house the other day. I said, lady, I'm a Baptist preacher. I ain't got time to talk to you. Man sitting in the car. A man sitting in the car, and he sends two women to the door to straighten me out on the Bible. She said, oh, that's perfectly fine. She said, what do you teach about the kingdom of God? I said, it's totally different than what you do. I ain't got time to talk to you. And I shut the door. You say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, I should. Amen. I ain't going to cast my pearls before swine. I hope y'all are all right with using such language. That's Bible language. Amen. They don't believe what they say. Amen. We get our convictions about who Jesus is from the book. Brother Freddie, what's those three little points you started your class with this year? What we believe about what? The Scripture, the Son, and salvation. What we believe about the Son, the Scripture, and salvation. Where do we get that? We get it from the Bible. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. We do not believe, as the Mormons do, that Jesus is Lucifer's brother. We do not believe that. He is the only, John 3:16, begotten Son of God. Yes. Amen. Only. That means he doesn't have a brother. Amen. Are we okay? Amen. Bible convictions.
When you're reading through that Bible and that Bible gives you something that is contrary to your life, you ought to make a change in your life because the Bible said so. Amen. Are we okay? Listen, the Bible made me change my mind about a lot of things that I believe. My doctrine, my convictions come from the Bible. I got saved and I started, I kind of like to figure things out for myself. Because I was told so much stuff growing up and as a child, I got saved and I started reading the Bible for myself. And I found out, this ain't in there. This is not in the book. I'll hair lip somebody. But I was told if I, all my life, divorced people, they couldn't do nothing for God. They sure couldn't stand behind the pulpit and preach. Don't die on me. I got to reading the Bible. It ain't in the book. But there's a whole lot in the book that they don't do. Are you okay? And I let this Bible build my conviction and my doctrine and my belief. Amen. Don't just take my word for everything. Get you a Bible and you go home and study that thing out. Amen. And if we'll get our conviction and our doctrine from the Bible, you know what we're going to do? We're going to line up. We might get confused on things from time to time. I've never claimed that we've got it all right. It's funny when you meet those people who think they do. Amen. Do you know, I know some pastors, they honestly believe the only people going to heaven is those baptized into the Baptist church. You don't get baptized into the church. You get baptized into the body. Amen. Man, are they going to be surprised? When they get to heaven and run into their Lutheran neighbor who got truly born again. Y'all all right? That flies in the face of most Baptists right there. Amen. Baptists are the only people going to heaven. Jesus was a Baptist. I get that stuff. You ever get that? I get that stuff all the time. Hey, well, let me move on. Oh, me. Listen, this book is perfect. Psalms chapter number 12. This book is perfect. There's nothing wrong with this book. And when God gives us a conviction out of this Bible, it's not to be hard or to make our lives miserable, it's to make our lives better. Amen. That stuff about forgiveness, that stuff's hard, but it makes you better. Right. Do you know how much easier it is to live with forgiveness and freedom in your heart than it is to carry around bitterness? Man, if we just do what this book said, we'd be way better off. Amen. There's Bible convictions. Then there's what I like to call spirit convictions. How many of you have ever been going throughout the course of your day and without a Bible in sight, the Holy Ghost shuts you down? One of the greatest compliments God could give a Christian is that His Spirit would deal with our hearts. Now, the Holy Spirit gets blamed for a lot of stuff He had nothing to do with. Oh, I've had people, boy, I feel led to do this and I feel led. I don't know what led you. Amen. I had a guy come in here one Sunday, told me, you remember that big old guy, told me he felt led to prophesy. I said, no, you're not led in here. I'm the pastor. I'm the under-shepherd of this flock, and I believe if God's going to lead you to give us a great prophecy, He'll tell me first. Amen. I don't know why, but he never did come back. I had a lady during revival meeting, Brother Charles, in the old building, and it was one of them meetings, too. I mean, it was on. She come all the way to the platform, walked up on the platform. She said, Pastor, I have a message I need to preach here tonight. And I said, no. I said, you need to back up out there in the yard and look at that sign. I said, it says Baptist Church. She said, oh. She went back to her pew and said that. She knew exactly what I was telling her. Preacher, we feel the Lord's leading us to move somewhere else. Is it really the Lord? You better try the spirits. Just because you're mad and everything ain't going your way doesn't mean that's a sign you need to move. Because it ain't going to be long at the next church. You're going to get mad and everything ain't going to go your way there either. Y'all okay? Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. I can't pronounce all these words, but Acts chapter number 16. Don't feel bad when you get to some scripture and you can't pronounce them. Fake it. Amen. Acts chapter number 16. Look at verse number 6. Let me just go to 7. The Bible said after they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia. Did I say that right? Watch this. But the Spirit suffered them not. Paul was about to go into Asia, and the Holy Ghost said, no. Is it a sin to go to Asia? No. Did you know what might be right for somebody else don't mean it's right for you? Every time we get a missionary come through, can I ask you, maybe I'm not by myself. When a missionary comes through and they're a real missionary, y'all know what I mean by real missionary? You can tell they're not going on vacation and they're not on deputation for a living. They really have a burden for somebody somewhere. Some of that crowd, just they can go on down the road. You know what I mean? They've been on deputation for 15 years, brother. You need to just give up and do something else. Amen. If God wanted you there that bad, you'd have been gone. Amen. Amen. But every time a real missionary comes through, they say something tug at your heart a little bit. There's something inside every Christian that shares a burden with somebody who has one. But it doesn't always mean you're supposed to go. A couple years ago, Brother Warren was struggling with the fact of whether or not he was supposed to go to Draketown and help Brother David McKenzie. And I said, Brother, we better follow God on this. And dealt with him for several weeks, and finally the Lord said, no. I think sometimes the Lord wants to know if we're willing. Let me ask you a question. Did God mean for Abraham to kill Isaac?
No.
Did God mean for Abraham to kill Isaac? No. And that's what he said. He stopped him and said, okay, I know you believe me. Isn't that something? Let me ask you something about your spiritual convictions. Do you have any, have you developed any spiritual convictions? The Holy Ghost ought to be able to put the brakes on us. I don't know how many times I'm about to do something or say something and the Holy Ghost says, you stop yourself right there. I told you a story about getting on the guy down here at the laundromat the other day. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'd have whooped that guy. He was mistreating that little girl behind that counter very badly. And I honestly stood there. I mean, it went on for several minutes. I honestly stood there, and I asked God's permission. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to say nothing, you tell me now. And I honestly felt like the Holy Ghost said, I'm waiting on you. There's two or three men standing in there, and everybody just standing there watching that guy abuse that little old girl. I don't go out here looking for trouble, and you shouldn't either. But there's times that we have to be a man. But there's times that we ought to bite a hole in our lip and shut our mouth. Are y'all okay? We ought to have some spiritual convictions, ladies. When you go to your closet, we ought to have some spiritual convictions. You ought to be able to pull this out and said, Lord, is this pleasing unto you? Are y'all all right? We ought to have some spiritual convictions. Paul was headed, he was headed that way. And the Lord said no. Listen, when the Spirit steps in and says no or go, that's a spiritual conviction. It's not a sin to go to Asia. He was going to preach. But listen, when we get to this place, we get into a little bit of a gray area. When you feel like the Holy Spirit's telling you to go, or you feel like the Holy Spirit's telling you to do something, hey, don't act on your first little whim.
Now you better follow that thing up and get some scripture. Amen. And that ain't always the case. Sometimes the Lord don't need scripture. He'll just stop you dead in your tracks. Amen. And we need to be obedient enough children to say, okay. Amen. I hope we're all right tonight. We've got Bible convictions. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will use the Bible convictions for spiritual convictions when you don't have the Bible. Does that make sense? But the key is you've got to get the Bible in you. If you read this Bible, it'll change you. It'll change the way you act. It'll change the way you react. Change the way you talk. If you'll just read the book. You say, I'm reading the Bible and I ain't getting nothing out of it. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. It's like these kids sitting around in church. You think they ain't hearing nothing. Yeah, they are. You'd be amazed what they're hearing. And you'll be amazed what you're getting if you'll just read the book. Amen. Listen, we ought to take a little inventory and ask ourselves, do we have more spiritual convictions now than we did when we first got saved? Here's what I witness. Most of the time, new converts are more tender toward the leading and the conviction of the Holy Spirit than people who have been saved for years. You remember when you were very sorry for your sin after you got saved? You popped off your mouth and it just tore your heart out? I remember the first time I cussed after I got saved. It tore me up. Got quiet again. What happened? What happened? You failed to grow spiritually. The Spirit ought to get bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives instead of smaller and smaller and smaller. Amen. We okay? You ever did something and you felt bad about it immediately? That's Holy Ghost conviction. Let me ask you something. Did God stop Paul from going to Asia? Yes, He did. Was it a sin to go to Asia? Was for Paul. Was for Paul. But guess what? In Acts chapter 19, guess where he was? Asia. Guess where Ephesus is? Sometimes God may say, not now. Not now. It's just not time. My great-grandfather bought me a Sears and Roebuck 12-gauge pump shotgun the day I was born. The day I was born. I was in the hospital. He went and bought me a shotgun. I cleaned that gun. Every time he'd let me get it out of the closet, Papa, can I shoot it? Not yet, son. Not yet. Not yet. My grandfather purposed in his heart that was for me. But he loved me enough not to let me have it till I was ready for it. Does that make sense? All our young people are out with Brother Jesse tonight. Sometimes I met my wife when she's 12 years old. I fell in love with her when she was 12 years old, with all my heart and soul. Was it time for us to date? No. Right person. Not the right time. Young people think because they meet so-and-so, oh, we just got to hurry up and get married. Maybe not. We need to let the Spirit of the Lord lead us and guide us. It may be like Paul. No, not now. There may be a young preacher in here and you go, man, I got a desire. I want a pastor. Won't you wait on the Lord? Why don't you wait on the Lord? Every church I preached in for 2 years that didn't have a pastor, I thought it was God's will for me to be there. They had called somebody else and I'd think, they missed it. Boy, they missed it. Brother Warren, your buddy Jay, our buddy Jay Ellis, he was a youth pastor at Macklin Baptist Church on Macklin Road. I knew their old preacher. I preached every youth meeting they had. Their preacher died. Died. They called me and said, we want you to come preach for it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm it, man. And, buddy, when I wasn't it,
I thought, boy, y'all missed it. What's the name of that church where J.M. used to pastor there in Yorkville? Crossroads? Crossroads. They was without a pastor. I said, oh, yeah, this is it. This is right here at home. This is where I'm supposed to be. I went over and preached my heart out. Old big deacon shook my hand at the door. He said, don't call us, we'll call you. That's what he said. That was his very words. I thought, I know what that means. I got to preach there one time. I knew that was it. I came to Happy Valley on a Sunday morning. Had no idea. No idea. When I stepped in that pulpit, God said, this is it. I didn't even have to pray about it. It was that strong. I knew it. Brother Charles, Brother Robert, set me down and said, would you consider being our pastor? Nothing to consider. If I take time to consider, I'm arguing with God. And that's a no-win situation. I knew it. Thank God. Do you know when the Holy Spirit's speaking to you? How many times are you like a kid playing a video game? You hear it just as plain as day. But you keep right on doing what you're doing. Amen. Well, listen, if everybody else's spiritual convictions don't line up with yours, don't fall out with them. Are you okay? Brother John asked me, no chance that guy's listening on the internet, is it? And maybe it won't offend him if he is. A co-worker of Brother John's has been coming to church some. He wants to come to the park with us Sunday. And he asked Brother John, would anybody be offended if I wore shorts? Won't offend me. I'd rather you not. Y'all okay? But I'm not going to tell that guy. You cannot come and enjoy a day at the park with us unless you dress like I say you dress. Are y'all okay? People who have been saved for 30 years expect people who have been saved 5 minutes to have it all figured out. You're stupid. Some of us are like me. We've been in this stuff all our life. We don't know nothing else. We've been taught it from a child. Don't take for granted that everybody knows what you know. And sometimes I think it's a good thing. I love to see people come in and get saved. They ain't been in church all their life. They ain't been corrupted by some of the junk. Amen. And there's some junk out there. Amen. Listen, just because you've been saved a while doesn't mean that God's give you a club to go around straighten everybody out. Some people know enough Bible just to be dangerous. I'll never forget as a young Christian, I know I'm scattered tonight, but listen, if you'll get this, it'll help you. As a young Christian, we went on I was a youth pastor. No, maybe not yet. Anyway, we went on a youth trip to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Never forget it. We went to the Dixie Stampede. Anybody ever been to Dixie Stampede? I love the Dixie Stampede, especially when the South Side wins. I like eating that chicken with no fork and spoon. I like all. That's fun. Well, before you go into the big show, you go into this old time, this like a saloon, and they serve you apple cider and all that stuff. Well, this dance hall girl comes over there and tries to sell a preacher friend of mine, who I highly respect, tries to sell him a garter off her leg. She did it to my pastor first, and he turned about the color of Brother John's shirt. And he didn't say a word. He went. And then she come to this other preacher who's sitting right beside me. And he said something to that lady. It embarrassed me so bad, I almost cried. And so did she. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, that wasn't right.
He did everything but call her the W word. And I thought, I bet she'll just run out and get saved after that.
Yeah, right.
I bet, boy, she'll just go somewhere and find a preacher and get right with God. No, she won't. If you ain't careful, your convictions will drive more people away from Christ than it will draw people to Christ. Amen. I heard that same fella tell a guy if he'd throw that beer down, God might save him. I was half drunk when I got saved. Y'all all right? Spiritual convictions, we ought to have some. We ought to have some. Then, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, turn over there, I got to hurry. I'm just rambling. This ain't worth the flip, but it'll help you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Bible convictions. Spiritual convictions. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Y'all there? Look at verse number 14. The Bible said, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. Now, hang on. Oh, Brother Eddie's fixing to preach on hair. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. But if you're a man, you got long hair, that ought to bother you. Amen. Well, I'm trying to be careful. If you're a lady and you got a GI, that ought to bother you. Unless you're Sheila and can't grow hair. And she don't have a GI. Your hair is beautiful. Are y'all okay? The hair's not where I'm going. The nature's where I'm going. There are some convictions that we can have without a Bible. There are some convictions that we can have without even being saved. That even nature itself tells us it's wrong. Are y'all okay? For these people who say they were born gay, I'm going to try to be nice and not be vulgar. But most of the kids are out yonder. I was raised on a farm. We raised cows. And the bulls was always interested in the cows. The cows are pretty dumb. But they got sense enough to know. They mate with the opposite sex. You can say what you want about the Duck Dynasty guys, but I like what old Phil said when they asked him. He said, I got one big problem with that. He said, the plumbing just ain't right. A little blunt. Hey, are y'all okay? Yeah. There are some things that even nature itself. Listen, there are people out there who are living wicked as all get out, and they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. Well, we don't have to have the Holy Spirit to know that everything we ain't got to have the Holy Spirit to know some stuff is wrong. Amen. You ever wonder why bars are dark? You ever been in a bar? I hope not lately. I remember going in places and you can't see. You go outside and it'll blind you. Street lights will blind you. That's how dark it is. It's because men love darkness rather than light. If you was to hang fluorescent lights throughout a bar, the place would be empty. Why? Because they know that what they're doing is wrong. Y'all okay? I was raised in a bar. My daddy used to take me to the club at the Ramada Inn on 75
in Marietta, Georgia when I was a kid. I'd sit at the bar and drink ginger ale and eat popcorn. Little bitty boy, while my daddy played music. Mama threatened to lock him up every time, and I'd beg. She wouldn't believe some of the stuff I seen as a little bitty boy sitting on a bar stove. As a little bitty boy, something inside me went, that ain't right. That ain't right. I knew it. I knew what was going on in there was bad. As a kid. Nature will teach you some stuff. Amen. Ladies, you ought to have a desire to look like a lady. Amen. Now, a lot of people want to grab that scripture and talk about the woman shouldn't wear that which pertaineth to a man. Listen, when you see a woman with a haircut like mine, carrying a billfold with a chain on it, wearing men's blue jeans, she's wearing that which pertaineth to a man.
That's right.
What I'm trying to say is nature itself ought to teach us that a woman ought to look like a woman.
Yeah.
And a man ought to look like a man. Yeah. And ladies, you ain't got to dress so tight and provocative for everybody to know that you're a woman. Are y'all okay? Caroline, our granddaughter, she is as prissy a girl. I mean, she's so girl from the time she was little bitty baby. Pink, princess, all that stuff. Nobody taught her that. Nobody taught her that. Why? She's a girl. Them boys, when they were babies, all of them, Mason, Jonah, Hayden, every one of them, little babies, before they could talk, they're in the floor with a truck going, brrr. Nobody taught them that. Why don't you see the girls going, brrr. The girls. Are y'all okay? There's certain things, convictions that even nature teaches us. Amen. Now, we can sit up here and preach to these teenagers all day long about premarital sex. And I'm not against that. They know it's wrong. And not just teenagers, but grown-ups too. We got enough single adults in our church. You ought not to be sleeping around no more than these teenagers. Natural convictions. Go to John chapter number 12. I'm going to quit. John chapter number 12. Have you got some convictions? I've got friends that we don't share the same convictions. I've got friends that I think some of their convictions are stupid. I had a preacher tell me in my eyeballs that he wears a suit and tie. Told me to my face when he goes deer hunting. I was out here in the burning up sun today, sweating like crazy watching them pour concrete. You think I wore a shirt and tie up here? Nah. Lord, let me live tomorrow evening. I'm going to crawl on a quarter horse and ride a little bit. You think I'm going to wear a suit? If I show up over there in a suit, Chris is going to be going, where are you going? Are y'all all right? That right there is not that's not a Bible conviction. That's not a spiritual conviction. That's a conviction that exists nowhere but between their head, their ears. Y'all okay? John chapter 12, verse number 4. Then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Watch verse 6. This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he is a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Now he's pitching a fit over that gal breaking that box of ointment and anointing Jesus' feet. He plays it off spiritual, doesn't he? You ever met these people?
He plays that thing off all spiritual. Oh, wouldn't it be better if we'd have sold this costly ointment and gave it to the poor? He didn't give a flip about the poor. Are y'all all right? Sound like a politician to me. Amen. Sounds like he had a real conviction about helping the poor. No, he didn't. There are Bible convictions. There are spiritual convictions. There are natural convictions. There are personal convictions.
Amen.
Lester Roloff was one of my heroes. How many of you knew who Lester Roloff was? Man, we're getting old. There was a day you asked that question in the Baptist church, everybody knew who Lester Roloff was. I'm talking about a great, great man of God. He didn't believe in wearing deodorant. He was a health nut. Drinking coffee was a sin. Well, I'm wicked as all get out. I had a cup on the way to church. He believed on carrot juice. His skin would turn literally orange. He'd look like a Oompa Loompa. From drinking so much carrot juice. He's a health nut. Died in a plane crash. Him and old Jack Hiles was big buddies. I used to get tickled. They was close enough. Old Brother Hiles could get away with it. He'd say, Lester got on to me all the time about eating double cheeseburgers. He said, I'm still eating cheeseburgers, and he's dead. He'd say that stuff all the time. Did you know what those were? Those were personal convictions. How many of you ever ran into a health nut? What do they call him? A herbalist. I grew up with some herbalists. Yeah. Herbalist. If you ain't careful, they get so into that stuff, it'll drive you crazy. Seriously, they will drive you nuts, man. You know what this stuff is? Personal convictions. I had a man tell me in a church one time, he said, Brother, let me ask you a question, personal question. I hate it when they say that. Do you eat red meat? I was like, yeah. Well, that's what's wrong with you. How do you know something's wrong with me? You're skinny. I said, I've been skinny all my life. Your bowels are stopped up from eating so much red meat. I thought, your brain stopped up from eating too much tofu. Yeah. Y'all okay? What he's trying to do is force his vegetarian junk down my throat. Amen. One guy told me, it was a woman. She said, I don't eat meat. I just eat fish. But then you know what they do? I got to be careful. You know what they do? They got bacon substitute. Oh, I don't believe in eating bacon. That stuff will kill you. Well, why are you trying to imitate it? Give me bacon. I don't want no turkey sausage. Don't want no turkey burger. Amen. I go to Montana, I eat buffalo burgers. Amen. Anyway, them's personal convictions, man. Personal convictions. We got to be careful. Let me give you some examples. People won't eat in a restaurant where they serve alcohol. Don't sit. Quit looking at me. Don't sit at the bar. Amen. You can't go nowhere where they ain't alcohol. I had a preacher tell me, I took Levi to the ball game to see the Atlanta Braves when he was little. We sat right behind home plate and watched old Greg Maddux pitch. I'll never forget as long as I live. I had a preacher tell me, we don't go there. I said, because you ain't got nobody in your church can get good tickets. That's what I thought anyway. Amen. Personal convictions. I had a preacher tell me that the Lord convicted him about drinking too much coffee. You can do anything in excess.
That's right.
But you know what? Not one time did he tell me, Brother Eddie, you need to quit drinking coffee. Lord ain't dealt me about it. Amen. I don't drink as much coffee as I used to drink it all day long. And the Lord didn't tell me to stop. I just couldn't go sleep at night. So I slacked off, amen. People's got some of the craziest ideas, man. Personal conviction. And it's okay to have a personal conviction. Just because it's not good for you to do it, there's things I have to stay away from.
That's right.
There's things that I have to stay away from that would be wrong for me that wouldn't be wrong for you. Brother Aaron Hewlin took me, and I'm done preaching. Brother Aaron Hewlin took me fishing a couple of weeks ago in a $78,000 bass boat. If you could buy them for $20, it would have been a sin for me to go. But I did not sin because I know I cannot buy a $78,000 bass boat no matter how bad I want one. Are y'all okay? Personal convictions, it's okay to have them. But just because they're yours doesn't mean they have to be everybody else's. Y'all all right? Let's stand on our feet tonight. Convictions. Hey, you ought to have them. You ought to have them. You ought to have them. Some people preach that it's a sin to have a television in your home. If you can't control it, it is. Amen. I gave an illustration in a church where I was preaching one time about something I'd gave on TV and lost half the crowd. I got a preacher buddy of mine right now. And if he's listening on the internet or does listen to this on the internet, I love you, preacher. Respect you more than anything in the world. I'll never be half the preacher you are. But he'll take a sledgehammer, put a TV on the platform, and beat it to smithereens. Yeah. He ain't beating mine. Are y'all all right? If the Lord convicts you that you're watching too much TV, well, maybe you are. Maybe you are. That's personal conviction. Just because you can't control it don't mean somebody else can. Y'all okay? Have you got some convictions? Some things that you are convinced in your heart that you need to change? You're convinced that there's an error in your life and it's not pleasing to God and it needs to... That's what a conviction is. And I want to continue to have them. The Lord will convict me sometimes about talking to somebody. And I know when it's the Lord. My heart starts pounding out of my chest. Till this day, if I'm supposed to witness to somebody, it just does it. Anybody else's do that? Mine does. And that's one way I know. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. I know it's the Lord. Chances are his heart's pounding a little bit too. Amen. Bible convictions. Get you some. How do I get Bible convictions? Read it. Just read it. Just read it. Now, don't go get all your convictions from the Old Testament law. We're under grace. Amen. But get you some Bible convictions. Amen. The Bible said the lady ought to adorn herself in modest apparel. You got sense enough to know what's modest. Amen. And you always hear them preaching to the ladies about how they order. Men ought to dress right too.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Convictions. Do you ever ask the Lord to give you some? Lord, give me some convictions about my life. Help me to live a little more pleasing unto you. Amen. Come get your prayer sheet. They're down here. Let's spend some time praying together. Hey, men, don't forget, call and check on Brother David. Brother Spartan, see Brother Charles, either one of us got numbers to get in touch with them, check on them. But pick you up a prayer sheet. Hey, don't forget Boston Butts will be selling tomorrow and Friday. If you want a Boston Butt or you know somebody who does, let them guys know. Love you, church.